Blog Talk Radio.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me. Gain on, a bomb, my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Be patient, meet them head to head. I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose.
Sunday before Halloween, and it's 3:32 p.m. Standard Eastern Time up here in Maine. I'm originally a Boston girl. You know, moving away was the best thing I ever did in my whole life. And the best thing about moving away, you never have to worry about seeing any exes or anybody else that you ever have to worry about ever again. So making a clean slate, which I am so blessed. I can't even tell you, it just got me away from the drama and all those people that are so negative out there, and I feel so very blessed and able to do the dreams I want to do, and be able to make friends from different countries and be able to do what I want to do in life. Now, I know a lot of people, they do grow up, and we all have responsibilities to pay the rent and everything like that. And to be honest to God truth, you know, I was once on an assisted stuff that helped from the government, but I got off of it, and I do believe, you know, paying my own rent, not using a man to help pay the bills by getting myself knocked up. And I don't mean to be disrespectful to anybody, but it is the truth. It's something that I do believe that I never had to do. I never had to get myself knocked up, you know, to keep a man. I never had to trap a man. I never had that in my thought. All I had in my whole life is to work with Jackie Chan. Now, people are unhappy with what I'm saying. It's the truth, because there are women out there that do trap men. But, of course, if you really think about it, men, what do? You think of what the other... you know, the other part of your body, and, you know, it's your fault because you're not thinking with the head on your shoulders. And if you really think about it, you know, sitting here 42 years of age, I never dreamed in my life that I would be doing any of this at all. I never thought I'd be doing the film Falcare. I never thought I'd be sitting on a radio show doing this show where anybody in the whole world They can just tune in. And people have been listening to my show, listening to the archives. I've been checking that out. And I think I've been doing pretty well for someone who's just started a radio show. You know, when you have like almost on one of my shows, I had over 1,000 people listening to it. And, you know, I did test this to be if, you know, if I listened to it a couple of times, would that make my, you know, more people, you know, record it? But I guess from each and every computer, whenever you go to listen to the show, it's only recorded as one-time listen. Now, I don't know if people, maybe they're listening through the whole thing. I think that's how they have to count it. I'm not really too sure. But I know I'm doing a pretty good job. And I want to keep influencing people, you know, and to let you know, in Boston, I had the most negative people that I was around. I wasted 10 years of my life to be around those people, and they were not good people at all. I'm just telling you, it was, I don't know what I was thinking. Kick me in the butt. Well, you know, you do live and learn, and those were mistakes from my past. So here I am. I always wanted to do a radio show, wanted to do film, and I am blessed. I am doing the things I want to do in life. And guess what? I learned as a thing. You remember those T-shirts that said, I'm with stupid? Well, guess what? I like this T-shirt. It says, I'm not with stupid anymore. And guess what? I'm not with stupid anymore either. So I actually like to have sit-down conversations with people who actually are intelligent, people that can actually teach me things and not act stupid or want to put me down when I ask questions. See, I don't want to ask questions before because the people I was around didn't have the answer, or they thought they had the answer to the questions that I had, but because they wanted to be so smart, they weren't even right in the first place to a question that I would ask, and they think they're all high and mighty. I'm like, okay. And for me as a woman, as you can tell, I'm a strong woman, but you have to really understand, when a woman says she's strong, it's because she believes in surviving. Now, I don't know who this is. It's a call. Let me just say, I'm going to bring this up on my show. Please do remember, do not bring up any sexual orientation, anything about politics, anything along those lines, you know, anything about religion. I mean, every now and then I might bring up about God, but, you know, it's something where I just mentioned, but I am not going to push my beliefs upon anyone. And my show is about dreams and talking of my experience to help people, you know, it's to help them with their dreams. So let me see who this caller is. Give me one moment. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. So no sex, no politics, and what else you didn't want to talk about?
Religion, is this Joe?
Oh, religion, yeah, this is Joe.
I recognize your voice, even though it's been a while, and, you know, I think I still remember that tone of voice and your tone, because you're like, I can say, one of my little, not little, but one of my homeboys, you know, and you get the voice like me, you know.
yeah, little, big, doesn't matter.
Yeah, but it feels like family, you know?
Yeah, how you been? I actually called in a few times. You didn't pick up. You had...
Oh, I do have to apologize that I mentioned on the air. There is a number that I guess when you're calling from a computer, I didn't know this because I had people actually calling in and cranking my show, and It was a number like that, and I explained to the person who let me run the show, that helped me, you know, get the show, and I says, what are these numbers? They're cranking me. Can we report them or something like that? And she says, no, they were actually from, like, Skype or something. And I'm like, oh, okay, so on air I apologized one time.
Oh, okay.
I didn't realize that, so I want to apologize to you, Joe. I had no idea.
Well, that's
that,
all right,
because
you will get drive-bys. That's what we call them here. You know, when people come in and they just want to pester the host or the hostess and they just want to add nothing to the conversation, so they just walk in and they just pretend like they're interested, and then they say something stupid after about a few minutes, then they leave, and then a lot of times these people, when they call in, they use false numbers anyway. Besides just block numbers, they use phony numbers anyway because they know that they'll be reported to BTR.
Yeah, and that thing is true. I'm trying to learn how to run this even, you know, better than what
right.
I was. So
mm-hmm.
I almost try to do almost. It gets a little confusing when I do I try to do one guest at a time, and I'm trying to learn about the chat, and
right.
I don't know if I can actually pop it up, so I'm going to try to pop open chat. It says chat as co-host, so what
you
I'm going to
do that,
on
yeah.
here.
Right, you can
yeah.
do that.
So I'm
yeah.
going to chat. Please
if you
wait
do that,
while we
you'll
create
have more
your
people
chat
coming in.
So I'm actually just doing this today, so because someone I know that has a show has someone help them. So it's kind of like, you know, they're talking and someone else is helping them, so I'm doing everything by myself. I just call my cat my co-host. That's all that I hear in my studio. So I'm trying to do the best I can, and, you know, it's
all about having
fun.
Well, I thought women could multitask.
Well, we can. I think it's just selective multitask. Yeah. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, I think you need your nunchucks with you.
Well, you know, it's something where I should be careful with them because I've hit myself in the head quite a few times. So.
Yeah, I remember when they came out, and they were all the craze when Bruce Lee was making them very popular. But one thing I wanted to talk to you about, and I'm glad that you don't have any guests today, is that one time you had a guest, and this particular person was asking for donations for an independent film.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was I did a little bit of research, and it wasn't on him. Well, I think I went to his site anyway because I was listening. I couldn't call in because you weren't picking up. But then I went, and I found out by accident. There's I forget the name of the phenomenon, but there are people who are asking for, like, little donations. I think this guy was asking for, like, $10,000 or $100,000, and he said if he could get that, if you could donate $5, $10, it would go a long way towards making the film. And I'm thinking to myself, look, if somebody's a dedicated filmmaker, they can't raise $100,000. Something's wrong. But the point I'm getting at is that there are scams going around where I think they call it indie phishing or something like that. And they put up websites and they tell people they want donations for films. But then when you donate, it's phony film. There's no film. So I wanted to let you know, because I don't know if you knew the person, didn't know the person.
If you're talking about if it was Crosby, at that time he's one of my brothers. I've worked with him quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
So if I personally know someone, and it's like, you know, I've met them, I can speak about it in my experience. In films that I'm working on, I'll know where the money's going. Do you know what I'm saying? I'll know exactly where it's going.
Yeah.
So I can talk about it, but now if it's something with what you're saying, that is scary because there's people that are really trying really hard. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like that makes those people that are really filmmakers, that makes them look bad.
It sure does. And you know what? There are a lot of hosts on BTR. There's a lot of hosts. They always have guests on. And a lot, they don't even, you know, they know about the guest, but they've never met the guest before. But because the guest is an author or a semi-celebrity, then they let them on, and then they start defending the people and start saying how good. But they've never met the person before. I've called into a couple of shows because my thing is politics. You know, the thing you don't like. So
yeah,
I
figured to each their own.
Right, it's okay. But I've called into shows, and they've had on these guests that I know are frauds. So when I call in, I mention, you know, the evidence that I've got, but then it doesn't go anywhere because these people, they don't want to offend the idiot that they have on the show. So let it be that.
Totally,
but in any case, enough about that.
No.
So how are you and Jackie Chan coming along?
Well, do you want to hear the truth?
Yeah.
I actually, a couple things had happened, and I really friended him, and he first friended me, and it's like at the first. Now, going through what I'm going through and moving away from Boston, right, I was very wary at first because it's like if you're a true Jackie Chan fan or anything that you know, you're going to know when something is fake. You're going to end up figuring out afterwards if it's fake or real because I've been a Jackie Chan fan for like 30 years. And the thing is, you know, you're going to know, and like people are like, how the heck do you know what Jackie Chan does almost every day? It's like you just know. You just know the things he does, where to look, with everything. So, you know, he friended me.
Mm-hmm.
And at first I was thinking, okay, this can't be real. There's no way, you know, because how people say, oh, Jackie will never friend you and blah, 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 this and that.
Right.
You got to remember that these people, even if they're superstars, international superstars, they're just people.
Right.
So if I've been almost like, at the time, I think it was 5 years, writing on the internet every single day and everywhere that I want to work with Jackie Chan, someone had mentioned to me, he's going to eventually see something because my name, I kept tagging his name.
Right.
So that's what happened. He ended up seeing me and friending me, and I'm like, is this really him? So I started asking things that he would know. Do you know what I'm saying? And then I found out it really was him. And then it's like, that's when his big Facebook page, before it was 28 million people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of funny because it's like, then after that, when Jackie had, I says, you know, people would mean to me, and he's like, don't listen to him, you know, self-respect. So then what had happened, right, people were saying, I'm going to report you, Shelley, because he was talking to me on the internet. And people said, I'm going to report you. This is not Jackie's profile. You're making the page and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I said, Jack, I wrote on his Facebook wall, and people were harassing him, saying this is not the real Facebook, you know, when he first had it before all these people on it. And he's like, why are people being so mean to me? So he linked his mm-hmm. real Facebook page to his website. And he goes, I told you this is really me.
Yeah.
And then after that, millions of people came on it, and it was like, I told you people, this is the real Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
So before that all happened, he friended me, and he's like, now the thing is, even though, you know, he's friends with me, it doesn't mean I'm going to get, you know, into a film with him right away. He
right.
wants me to work, and this
right.
is what he showed me, and this is what I'm doing. I'm working on things that I'm doing, and he likes it, and he knows about my film, The Dishwasher. And it's like getting, you know, it's going to be small and short and to the point, because a lot of people talk to me, and I'm very thankful. People that have been promoting stuff, I mean, these are big-time people, a guy out in Hollywood, I'm not going to mention his name, he's very kind. People sit on the phone with me, and this is what we can make this bigger. We can distribute it and stuff. But, see, this is my first film, and what I want to do is I just want to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get it to Jackie. I know I can. I know it's not a hot obstacle. I know his office. I know everything about him. And you know, I don't want to just show up at his house or anything. I know all his houses and everything like this. And it's like, because I know. And I don't want to mention where he lives and stuff because of respect of Jackie.
Of course,
people are like,
yeah.
why don't you just show up at his, you know,
no,
office.
No, you can't do that.
Yeah,
no.
So this is what people are saying to me, is no. It's just because I want to show that I'm more than a fan, and I think he knows that now. And he sees that he's watching me, and it scares the heck out of me because there are martial artists, there are stuntmen I've been talking with in Hollywood, so if they know about me, I mean, it doesn't get me into a film. They want to mm-hmm. see what I have, and that's what I've been working on for the past couple of years. In the film Valkyr that I'm working on, the
mm-hmm.
wardrobe, I'm so excited. I just saw what the wardrobe's going to look like, and it's stuff that I've watched. I'm just,
yeah, I heard you on
so
one of your shows talk about it briefly.
Yeah.
And I also went to a link, and I saw you in that movie where I think it's the furniture store, that little clip.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
maybe
that.
I can, yeah. Yeah, it's like, if I could somehow, if, you know, if there was a way I could, like, show you a thing, my big scene,
mm-hmm.
it scares people, right? What I did is, okay, I wanted to become the most annoying, rude, ignorant person. This is what I wanted to do in the film.
And that
so
makes you different from everybody in Hollywood. How?
But no, see, it's like, that's what I wanted to do in the film as a character, right?
Oh,
this
okay.
is what I set up to do because I was going to be loud. I was going to be like a female Joe Pesci, right? This is the thing I wanted to do. So, no, this is what I came off as because I was taking
right.
mass demon, and I just ran with it. And the directors and the camera guys, when they were filming me, they had
they
to stop.
I know.
Yeah, they couldn't stop because
mm-hmm.
it was like even practicing before we started filming, the director, Justin Fielding, which I'm hoping to have on my show,
mm-hmm.
him and the actors were all in the car. I'm in the front seat, and they wanted to hear some of my stand-up. And I'm just like going on and on and on about jobs and crappy jobs I'm having. He's laughing so hard, he almost crashes the car, and he had to pull the car over because the director was laughing. He's like, Shelley, we got to get you doing this stuff on film. So
mm-hmm.
it's like, when we went to film, it was like, you know, we were filming until 3 o'clock in the morning, and I had to be in work at 5:30 in the morning to open up a fitness center.
Right.
So I'm like, can you imagine not being mad and being this much of a psycho in a, you know, just like let her loose. So I says, okay. And they just let me Rambo and
right.
just like Rambo, Rambo, Rambo. So what had happened is when I got shown in different places, and he went, I mean, I couldn't really take time off of work to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they had the question and answers at the end, people were asking the director, Justin, they're like, Justin, is Shelley Nunchuk really that nuts? And he's like, no. They're like, this character's annoying. He goes, yeah, I know that's what she wanted to do. And they're like, even someone commented saying, you know, that character, that Jackie character, because my name was Jackie in
uh-huh.
the film. I kept saying, call me Jackie, like Jackie Chan, not Maria. And I kept saying, I want to work with Jackie. And Twin Nunchucks, and it's just this running gag that they put in my character.
Uh-huh.
They brought what I wanted in life in my character. It was this run-on gag, and it's just doing this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then people can comment saying, I don't know really about that Jackie character. She's very annoying. So I did my job, because that's what I set out to do.
Right.
I wanted to be the most pain in the butt.
Right.
Annoying and show that women can be loud and obnoxious. I mean, if Joe Pesci can do it, why can't I? You know?
Right, yeah.
Just, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's just a character I wanted to do. I mean, just something I want to do. But now, people, like, the little that I've done, I get my stuff off of YouTube, and, you know, I'm trying to get other things. I've got pictures. But from using my Facebook as a tool, people are seeing the stuff that I've done because I post over and over again. They're like, oh, my gosh, it's really good. Now, the thing is, because I don't wash my – I don't see myself. Do you know what I'm saying? If I'm on stage or something like that.
Right.
People tell me that I'm funny. The thing is, how funny am I if I don't wash myself? Do you know what I'm saying? I have to see myself because
yeah,
people
but
like,
a lot of people don't do that. There's one famous actor who's been around for about 30 years. He's never seen one of his own films. He doesn't want to see himself.
De Niro?
Maybe, because there was somebody that, maybe it was an interview, I forget which now, but he just said he's never seen himself after the, after the production ends, he's never seen himself on the silver screen, doesn't want to.
That's what I heard. I heard some people, some people don't want to watch themselves.
There are some people who don't like, when they see themselves, they don't like their performances. But this particular person, I think it might have been De Niro, but I'm forgetting who now. I'm drawing a blank. Has said, and he's famous, has never seen himself on film. I guess he doesn't want to jinx himself.
Yeah, I guess seeing yourself for me, I said, okay, how better of a person can I be? Because it's people telling you or giving you criticism, but if you don't know what their criticism is about,
don't see it for yourself to judge what the other person's viewpoints are, you really can't make a comparison. But I'll tell you something. People have a tendency to always, when they see or hear themselves, they're never satisfied with themselves anyway. So maybe
really?
It's a good thing you don't. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do you like your voice?
I don't want to change it.
Yeah, but I mean, when you hear it, or when you've heard it for the first time, did you like it? Did you recognize it?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay, because a lot of people don't. When I first heard my voice years and years and years ago, I didn't recognize it. I didn't like it. And most people like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Because you know how they say, like, in film business, right?
Mm-hmm.
They say about certain roles and stuff, I need to change my accent, but the things I'm going out for just suit me, so it's like, if what works for me, like my accent, helps me to get parts, why change it? I mean, I'm not going to go play Barbie or Seth and Bell if what I'm doing helps me to get noticed, and I swear to God, Joe, it's like it's almost people want to sabotage, like,
athletes. They do.
No, I'm like, why do that?
Because people are jealous. And you don't even have to be a big star. Look, anytime anybody, and this has happened to a lot of people, myself included, I'm not even in the entertainment business, but if people see that you are making progress, and you're making progress faster than they are, let's say you're on their level now, but you're making progress faster than they are, they're jealous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's
like it baffles my mind because it's like, I came from a poor background and I got into it. Like, long story short, I was with a guy for 10 years and it just ended. And I said, instead of pitying myself, I actually stepped into a dojo and was training in capoeira. And I says, that gave me self-confidence. And people like, Shelley, you're really funny. You can make people laugh. Why don't you get into acting and go, I'm not pretty enough. And they're like, you don't get it. Maybe sometimes they want models, but like, you have this personality. You make people laugh. And I go, okay. So I did a dinner theater show. And in my first dinner theater show, Joey and Maria's Italian Comedy Wedding, I played a big-haired bridesmaid doing the shows. It wasn't the fact of getting paid $25 an hour. It was the fact of going there, being this crazy, loud, drunk, playing a good drunk. Making people laugh, it was the feeling. It was when people told me, even after doing another one called The Collada Thing, another show, when people were coming in and telling me, they says, I just had this bad day, and you just made me laugh. It helped me to help myself, doing what I love, and people enjoying it. And, it was just like, this is an example. When I did The Collada Thing, and I think I still have the email from it, this woman, an elderly woman, her husband had just passed away. And this was a while ago, and she was going to, I think, turn 80, I believe. And the husband says, like, she didn't want to go out for her birthday. So she was, like, really sad, and the husband says, no, you won't enjoy yourself. So she came to our show. And when she saw our show, she had such a good time. She went back again. She brought her son, and they enjoyed it so much. And she wrote to the company that I was working for that she says, she explained what happened, and she said she had such a wonderful time. And it's like, when I keep hearing these things to make people happy, for me being these outrageous characters, giving up myself and not caring how stupid I look
how outrageous you are, right?
Yeah, and just people are enjoying it. I know I have something, and it's just something inside of me. I have this energy, and I forget. Another thing too is like when I'm on a film set, there's no problem. I don't think about any self-esteem issues or nothing. It's like you're there, and it's just this whole other world. You know, you have to make the magic, and it's really hard work. A lot of people, and you've probably seen this, I don't know, on the internet, like on Yahoo and stuff, and people, they put these actors down, they show all the work, and it's about 12 to 14 hours a day. Mm-hmm. But when I'm working on sets, you know, even independent sets, it's long, and it's tiring, and you're doing this stuff over and over again. It doesn't matter the weather. You could be out in the winter, you know, doing these things, and you might have to be in jeans and a T-shirt, and you're out in the winter, and you might have to pretend it's the spring. So there's other things that you really have to do that people don't even realize. And,
well, yeah,
you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can't really, if you have a role, you can't call in sick. Do you know what I'm saying? You have to do it. You know, I mean, maybe unless you're a big time actor or something, they work around you, like if you're Tom Cruise or something, maybe like, but usually
the contract,
they end up going to work.
Sure. If
you're
under contract, you have to fulfill the contract, yeah.
Yeah, like people don't realize how hard it is to really act. I mean, you know, acting's about like emotions and stuff. It's remembering the lines. I'm a different type of actress. I'm great with improv.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are like, most people, they're like stuck with the script, but if you tell them to do something on set, they kind of freak out. I'm just like, if the actor goes, Shelly, don't do this. I'm like, okay. It's like, you know, you just work with the director, and that's what directors love about me. It's like, Shelly's all up for everything. Let's get her in. And that's what I do. That's my thing. With the little I've done over the past 7 years, you know, it's like if you ever go on the internet and you Google my name, Shelly Nunchucks, it's going to come up all over the place. You'll see me, you know, if you have access to a computer, you go over here, you're going to laugh at me like, Shelly's right. She's all over the internet.
Yeah, well, look, you have the dream. It takes some people a lot longer than normal, or whatever normal is. I do know one thing. I read a long time ago that if a person achieves their Hollywood dream too easily, let's say in a couple of years, and they're very young, then other people get very resentful because they didn't pay their dues, you know. So you're going to get it, you know, and another thing, too. Now, you've been in the business. I haven't. But one thing that I've observed is if you get, as a Hollywood person, what you want, you're going to be very, very surprised at what the outcome is. Because if you get the fame or the glory or the attention that, of course, you know, most actors and actresses love, you're not going to like it as much as you think because, yeah, you know, you're making people happy. But when you get people coming up to you in the street or at a restaurant or with your kids, it gets kind of boring. It gets kind of tedious after a while.
Mm.
You know?
Yes, I've heard that too. The thing, though, is I think I'm blessed because of the people that I'm surrounded by. And if you tend to notice, like, you know, people, if you notice the stunt guys, like James Wu and all of, you know, Jackie Chan and Jet Li, if you notice the difference between some actors and people trained in martial arts, they seem to handle that type of thing a lot better than a lot of people. So in my life, I have those type of people around me. I have teachers that I can go to, you know, and they're problem solvers. They help me in my life, but it's like, they don't really give me the answers. It's like they're there for support, but they teach me, you know, and to follow that good path. And believe me, if you go to train in martial arts, believe me, if you ever get a head on your shoulders, like a big head, there'll always be someone to put you in your place. So, I know it sounds strange, and if you really think about it,
I understand what you're saying. They want you to reach, you know, inside for your chi, but they don't want you to be arrogant. They want you to, you know, realize who you are, that you've got your own personal power, but then if you reach your personal power, don't feel like you're God. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like you have to realize that being able to do what you want in life, it's a gift and an honor. And a lot of people, I think, that takes it for granted. And I just want to show, and I keep praying, you know, I keep saying, you know, keep my head on my shoulders. I want more wisdom. That's what I want, because without wisdom, nothing else is going to matter in this life. And I mean my own type of wisdom where I'm really going to know, you know, to stay away from bad things, bad energy, and keep finding the good people. And I think I've done a great job at doing that. And knowing, you know, I've made mistakes in my life. I'm not perfect. And I will be the first one to say in my life that I'm the most imperfect perfect person because, you know, I mean, with film and stuff, it's magic. In people's life, no one's perfect, not even Jackie. And I think mm-hmm. that's what people tend to think. And believe me, there's people that are obsessed fans. Like, there's things that I've heard, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And even on his Facebook page, when there's 28 million people and he posts something, I don't always, like, I think people thought when I would get a hold of Jackie, I'd be bothering him because they'd be like, you just have this obsession of blah, blah, blah. Actually, I don't really bother him as a lot of people do. They go on his page and stuff like that. I, like, once in a while, or if I have something I want to show him, I'll be like, look, Jackie, you know, like, we're doing the armor for Falk here. And when I saw it, because Hora's wife, Nari, that has, like, this outfit she had for Halloween, and when I saw it, I almost cried. I was like, oh, my gosh, that's, like, stuff I've seen my whole life. Like, the way they're putting it together, the armor and stuff, it doesn't look like what it's made out of. So that's how I know. You know, it's going to be something really decent. They're working very hard. They're doing the costumes themselves. And I was trying to help out with the patterns, and they're doing everything. This is like a very time-committed film for an independent film because he wants to release it in theaters, not just independent theaters. He wants to release it. I mean, I can't tell you about the business. I'm just the actress, but from, you know, what he was telling me, he wants to release it in regular theaters. Now, like I said, I'm not a promoter. I just talk. That's good. You know, I just talk, talk, talk. People listen to me. That's the good thing about me. People like to hear me talk. So,
have you thought about auditioning for soap operas or TV, or are you mainly focused on film?
I'm mostly focused on film, and the big thing is getting to work with Jackie. That's what my goal is. And it's like, you know, I try to focus because someone says you get opportunities. The thing is that if you do too many things at once, it's going to kind of take away on what your focus is. Even though I'm doing a couple of things, I'm almost done finished writing a children's book. It's about a ferret. And it's a ferret that came to me. And most of my life, how I got most of my pets is they just show up and I have a pet. And I had this ferret years ago. It ran to me through Boston traffic. And it just sat up and raised its paw. I'm like, oh, help me. I picked it up and I had a ferret. I mean, it passed away, but even my cat, Jack, I call her Jackie Chan Kitty, and that's her name. She came to me in my backyard, and I had a cat. I fed her, and I had a cat. And now this other cat, which is someone who lets this cat out, it's a one-eyed cat, and it just shows up. It just, like, and I feed it.
Well, I always wanted a ferret, but then I was told by my cousin-in-law, you know, that ferrets smell.
It's kind of, they're really a lot of work. They're
they got to be high maintenance because their energy is always on, 24/7.
Yes.
They don't
stop. You have
to
watch them. Yeah, they can get into everything. They're just like little fleas. And the one that I had one time, I was sitting on the floor eating Chinese food. So I was giving it food, and I had crab rangoons in the plate. And he was acting like I was giving him something. All of a sudden, he went, whoa. He grabbed the whole crab rangoon and ran behind the couch. I was like, you little stinker. I'm like, what are you doing? You're not supposed to eat that. He would do these things. I mean, that's what they do. And it's kind of like, you know, maybe there's something else that I'd like to help with animals. You know, something I could do, help people. Because, you know, the thing I think of, and everybody gets into all politics, if you really think about it, we are the ones that have to be the change. We are the people.
Right.
We should step up because everybody blames everybody else in the country. How come we can't do something? So that's why I was like, you know what? If I can start something, you know, to help out animals or children or the elderly, I'm going to do it myself. And if keep getting venues or plateaus to actually, you know, be able to do stuff. My voice is becoming bigger. And if you tend to notice, people like actors, like Jackie, when they do foundation charity work, people actually donate money. And they donate lots of money, so it's like, if I keep going the way I want to go, my goal really is to have a bigger voice, to do the things I really want to do. Like, I hope to get rid of the gas chambers and the pet shelters, and I've been looking here in Westbrook, you know, in Portland, and different things in Maine. And the thing that I try to do, I try to promote the animals that they're looking to adopt. Like, I'm trying to, you know, promote them on my Facebook page, talk about other things, and try to just talk about it. So, I mean, at least I can at least talk about it. And around here, I can't really take the animals in. I don't have places for them, but at least I'm feeding them. So I'm trying to do my part, like just walking around here and feeding animals. I mean, that's all really I can do, because if you don't have the money, you're just going to find ways to make a difference in your own backyard.
Yeah. You need money.
Believe
for
me, if I had a bigger place, I'd probably have, like, I'd be the crazy cat lady taking all the cash.
I knew a person in my old neighborhood. I knew a woman who had 21 cats and dogs. I couldn't believe it, and I was there. I still couldn't believe it. Sometimes I look back, you know, and I think, did I really experience this? Did I really know somebody who had 21? And it wasn't like they had a spread. It was an apartment. 21 cats and dogs. And the poor guy that she was married to, he had to walk like 6 dogs twice a day and then feed the animals. And it cost them something like, I forget if it was $100 or $200 a week just to feed these freaking animals. 21
oh
cats and dogs, and they're,
oh my,
you know,
God.
I'm telling you, yeah.
That's insane. That's kind of like, wow, that's dedication.
Yeah, that's that. Well, the woman was probably somebody who was in denial, you know, but she was a nice person, but she was weird. But 21 cats and dogs, and sometimes
no,
they would fight, and then, my God, it's like World War III, and then, you know, yeah, I'm surprised they didn't tear each other apart, but. What can you do?
So you need, like, a bigger place or something where, because it can smell afterwards, and it's like, just when people are in it, they can't smell it. But it's like, you got to have a litter box, like, only, like, it's 2 cats per litter box, you know what I'm saying? You have to have, if you're figuring 21 cats, you could have at least 10 or 12 litter
boxes.
Oh, they
had them all over the place, yeah. I mean, they took very, very good care of the cats, and there wasn't that much smell. So, but I mean, it was a regular chore.
Good,
yeah, I mean, she was a cat lady, but she wasn't that crazy. I mean, if you walked inside the house, you weren't going to see cat shit all over the place.
That's good.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was very, very organized. But 21, I'm still asking myself right now, did I really count 21 cats and dogs? I wish I had taken a picture of them, because that's...
Oh, that would have been awesome.
21 cats and dogs, geez.
She couldn't be her own rescue shelter.
God.
And you know what's funny is now it's like, before I knew guys that didn't like cats, but now it's like I'm getting to know maybe they just, I don't know what it is. If you really think about it, it's actually easier to take care of a cat than a dog, because a dog you have to take outside.
Yeah.
A cat, you know, you could probably leave it alone for a little while. You know, you leave out food and water.
You can leave it alone for
it,
a week. I had a neighbor who had a cat, and she would go away for a week at a time. And she would leave the food and the water out, and the cat was fine when she came back home.
Yeah, and that's what people don't realize. And the other thing, too, is, like, I try to bring up, you know, it's like, cause I, you know, after I tried getting back into the dating thing, and it's like, you know, I don't know, maybe because I'm an older generation, it's like I said, I've done, you know, I'm not perfect or anything, but if you think, that a woman taking you, Joe, for example, if someone was dating you, and, you know, you just met her and stuff, but she was content to have a cat and watch movies, and would you like to know a woman that does that instead of going out and dating tons of men? I mean, I don't know what's wrong when guys say that they don't like, you know, cats. If she has, like, 1 or 2 cats, what we do is not, like, really controlling her life.
Well, yeah, I don't think it's 1 or 2 cats that are the problem. There might be something else that's the problem. I don't know. Maybe women are attracted to the kind of man that they don't want. Let's say put it like this. They don't need. They always want the man they don't need. And so don't talk to me about relationships, because that's my ballywick, relationships and politics. And I almost always put the blame on the female.
Yeah, well, see, what I learned, too, is because, you know, I used to say all guys are a-holes because of the past. You know what it was? It was because it was my fault, because I kept picking the wrong guys. Now I kept, the thing is, I said, you know what, I'm going to stop. And I want to find teachers and stuff to teach me. And guess what? They weren't women. They were all men. So they taught me that it's like, just because the guys that were in my past, because they were jerks, they were idiots, they didn't have smart intelligence, and they didn't want to sit and have a conversation with me. It was because I was picking them, and that was my fault. So now I woke up, and actually there is someone that is kind of, I do get to talk with, we can have dreams, we're the same age. We talk so much and have a conversation, and it's a beautiful, wonderful thing. And the other thing is, too, he's in the service. I mean, he was in the service for like 8 years.
Right.
And it's kind of like, you know, he's very honorable. He's very intelligent. We can sit and talk and have a conversation for a long time. And the thing is, he's into acting too. And
you got something in common. See, now that wouldn't be me. Because when I was younger, I dated aspiring actresses and aspiring models, and I can't be bothered with them.
He's a normal guy. You know what I'm saying? He's like, the funny thing is, and it's like, it's kind of, I'm into the martial arts. He's actually Vietnamese. He was originally from Vietnam.
Right.
He had to get, his family escaped the Viet Cong. He came here, they became legal citizens.
Right.
So as he got old, you know, he believed in working. He wanted to give back to this country because the country, you know, helped him out. He went into the service. You know, he went into the Air Force for 8 years, and he did his thing, and he has a job, and he believes in working. Do you know what I'm saying? He believes in
The Vietnamese, I mean, the Asian culture in general, they don't shirk away from hard work. When they come over here especially, they work very hard, and they transfer their culture and their ambitions to their kids. Do you know that the Chinese in America right now, they are the dominant culture in terms of affluence per capita? The median household of the Chinese household is more than whites and more than blacks and more than Mexicans, because it's in the census. You know, because, again, I'm into politics, so I've come across information like that. So, and the people from Vietnam especially, because, you know, for them, the normal life is like working 12, 14 hours in a rice paddy, doing some kind of really lousy, menial work. When they come over here, hard work is nothing to them.
Yeah, I know.
Because to them, it's hard work. They probably take a look at America and say, are you kidding? You think this is hard work? This is easy shit.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And that's why I think maybe... I've always wanted to learn about Asian culture, but it seems like it was always blocked when I was a kid. I was just fascinated because I watched the Kung Fu, you know, those really crazy ones that was such bad dubbing, and I was fascinated. And it's kind of funny because I was like, it's like in the movies, like when you see, like, the bullies and stuff, you know, you see in the movies where the good kids get beat up from the bullies, right, and he takes in martial arts. That was my life. I didn't get to get into martial arts, but I had my bullies, and even, like, you know, friends in the boys from the neighborhood, they had their bullies because we were the nerds and the geeks and the weirdos, you know, and all that stuff. I mean, we were the good kids. We didn't want to fight. We hated fighting. We just wanted to have our lives. We used to run like heck. And I used to have bullies that were guys and bullies that were girls, and we always used to get beat up. And it's just really weird how karma comes back around, because one of my boy friends, he said that this guy that was a bully that used to beat up and he used to spit on me and used to beat me up. He says when he got older, my friend had gone into the service, and I don't know if this was after when he came back or not, and the kid was like, he got very much overweight. This was a bully. And he mouthed it off to my friend. He was like, what? And my friend ended up beating the crap out of him. And the bully, the daddy, his girlfriend comes out,
that lasts for a while. I mean, yeah, there was a guy I was talking to in BTR, and he was a geek. So he said that he went into the service, and then he filled out, came out, and then I think he said he went looking for this favorite bully of his, found him, beat the shit out of him. You know, it lasts a long time. Like, for example, if you ever watch, there's this show that used to be on TV called Jenny Jones, and there were girls that were picked on, and then they grew up into looking really good.
Yeah, those were the shows that were really sweet that I liked. It was kind of like, you know, you don't have to get revenge. Like, people like, oh, I want to get this and that. I don't want revenge, and I don't wish that upon others. I mean, whatever happened in the past, it just makes me a better person knowing it's like,
through trials and tribulations.
Yeah, and I'm like, and it's like, you hear people, and what I swear to God, Joe, I hate when people say, he's a murderer because he had a bad life. And I'm like, really? Don't even go there for me. I'm like, you've got to be out of your mind, because when someone says that to me, I said, the abuse, the mental, physical abuse, leaving from home and going with a boyfriend who used to hit me, and then another boyfriend that was mentally abusing me, and it's like, there's nothing else I knew, but then it's like, I just, enough is enough. And I think, you know, or turning out like Tina Turner and just rising above everything. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, this is my life, and this is what I want to show people. It's like, you want something in life, you got to work for it. Yes, bad things happen to you. It happens to so many people in this world, but just keep going because, you know, I'm a living example. I don't even think a few years ago I would even be thinking I'd be sitting on the show right now as we speak. I would have never dreamed this in a million years at all.
Well, that's what happens when a person has to go through a childhood which is fairly traumatic. Now, I have sympathy, and at the same time, I don't have sympathy for certain people who've gone through certain types of abuse. To me, when I've talked to people about abuse, sometimes people will just freely, off the cuff, it seems as though, you know, they were abused by the mother, the father, the teacher, you know, and by the time you finish talking to them, you know, you wonder, isn't there anybody on this planet who didn't abuse you? You know, because sometimes they make it a cause célèbre. But at the same time, there are people who have been abused, and they can't rise out of it that easily. They do need a support system.
Yeah.
And unfortunately,
they do.
If they're the ones that are abusing them, they don't have much of a support system. But you're right. There are people have to climb up. But if some people are capable and some people aren't. But I've always told people, look, you've had choices in certain situations. Now, I've also talked to people, women who've said they've been raped by their stepfathers, raped by their uncles. Now, that, to me, is extremely traumatic, you know?
Yep.
Extremely traumatic. And they tell me, because we get on the conversations about relationships, and, you know, they're saying, why can't I find a good guy? And then we get deeper and deeper into it, and then I realize that they can't find a good guy because, to a huge degree, they've been traumatized. And people have to, in some way, try to overcome it, but it's very, very hard for a lot of people. But that doesn't excuse any type of behavior in which a person goes out and just wants to really ruin other people's lives or goes into a shopping mall and shoots up people. They should be held accountable, but at the same time, nobody should take a look at these people and say they are 100% devil. No. Nobody.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
That's another thing, too. It's like, It's really hard in certain situations, like when you hear these things, I'm like, how, you know, it's kind of like when someone gets, you know, like fired from a job, and then it's like, okay, they're mad and they want to shoot someone. Why are they shooting, like, the, you know, employees?
Stupid. Yeah.
You know, that's like, I don't understand.
I don't have sympathy for that because it's not, yes, it's hard. Everybody's been unemployed. Everybody at one time or another has taken months out of their lives in order to try to get another job, and it can be very, very stressful. But these, see, to me, I think what can make a person or a psychopath is, one, they become so traumatized because they've been beat up, raped, violated, I mean, tremendously when they were kids, and I can understand that. But there's another group of psychopaths that are spoiled, and they do not know right from wrong. They have had everything given to them, and they don't like denial. So when they're denied something, they go off. And they don't even know, although they don't even care, that they're psychopathic. Because when you're
I think I know what you're getting at. It's like when they're handed things like I don't want to say names of big time
actors. But there are celebrities who have had everything ever since they were kids. I mean, they made it very, very easily in life. And they get denied, and they go off, and they try to commit suicide, or they get hooked on meth. And you have to ask yourself, well, what are you talking about? You've had it easy. You've had parents who loved you. You know, a lot of times, though, people don't realize that some of these celebrities have had parents who didn't love them, and they just shuttle them off into boarding school or shuttle them off into nannies. And when they've had that kind of experience, their development, their psychological development is stunted. You know, but because they're pretty or because they're talented, they can rise up a ladder in the entertainment world, but they're still kids, and then they get hooked on drugs, and they become psychopathic, some of them. Like, for example, my favorite, the girl that I think is one of the most beautiful girls I've ever seen in my entire life is Lindsay Lohan, okay? I've admired her in terms of beauty ever since she was a kid, but not when she was on a soap opera. But after that, because she always had this free smile, she was gorgeous, and she always acted very, very natural, like she had a natural personality. She was a good actress. But for God's sake, Lauren, how many times do you have to drive drunk and drive with, you know, have cocaine in your car?
I don't know. It's like I feel so scared because, it's like, you know, you keep hearing these things, and it's almost like you kind of think you know what's going to happen, and it's like it seems like no one can help her, and I feel really bad because look what happened to some of those other ones, those teen stars, and it's like they were going down the same path, and what did they end up? They end up in the grave, and it's like you just feel bad, and that's what it is, and it's like, is there no one that can help her? Do you know what I'm saying? It's like,
family can't help her. Plus, what you're talking about, some of these early teen deaths, and there's another thing. Like, for example, this guy who played Screech, Diamond, that poor guy, he will never, he has to, and he knows martial arts too, he has to really get his center, because this poor guy was so good at what he did when he was a kid, he became typecast in life. Everybody thinks of him as this nerd. So I can imagine how annoying it is when he walks down the street and somebody has to come up to him and say, hey, you're Screech, aren't you? Make me laugh. You know, that's kind of so freaking annoying. Ay, ay, ay. Or like Elvis Presley. He could never step out of his house because he would always be mobbed. Or Michael Jackson. I always empathize with Michael Jackson because this guy, this poor guy, he never wanted to grow up. So he tried as best as he could never to grow up. But that ruins your psyche. So this is a thing that... Like, or have you ever seen pictures? I'm sure you have. Pictures of Britney Spears and who's the other one?
Christina Aguilera?
Huh?
What's another female singer like Britney?
No, have you ever seen the paparazzi? You got to feel like you've got to kill the paparazzi. They just invade your space. I have seen video of Britney Spears as she's walking into a mall, and the paparazzi are surrounding her. They are literally a couple of inches away from her face, away from her body. They follow her by the dozens into a store. If you don't have your privacy, I think, the law says if you're a celebrity, you don't have a right to as much privacy as a normal person. I say that law is fucked up. I think celebrities need privacy more than anybody else.
I think it affects people differently because, like with me, everything's always going to come back to Jackie. If you notice the, you know, people paparazzi with Jackie, but if you notice him, you know, and how he handled his whole life, and even though it's like learning about Jackie when he was younger, he kind of got a little kind of high and mighty for a little while, and I read his book and everything like that. And the thing is, he kind of did a little bit of a mistake too, where he wanted to be with his boys, and there was this pretty, I guess, Asian singer, and she loved him, and he was he was trying to act almighty, and it's, you know, getting into the films and stuff, when he started getting noticed over in Asia and everything, and she's like, I can't be with you anymore. And the sad thing is, many years later, she died. It was really a strange thing to do with asthma. She died, I think, from asthma, and it's like, even Jackie just regrets things. It's like no one's perfect, and it's like you learn. And another thing is, you know how he got into charity work? And there's an interview on the internet, and I don't know how you can Google it and look on YouTube, but he was like, he had to go to this charity thing for hospital for kids, and he was like, I don't really want to do this. This is a long time ago. And they're like, you got to bring these presents to these kids. It'll be a good thing for you. He's like, I don't know. So he went to the hospital, and he brought the gift, and when the kids seen, you know, the smiles on the face, Jackie bringing presents to him, that changed his whole persona. He was like, oh, my goodness. And that's how everything started for him. He started rising up, and he started growing, and he's constantly in the back, and I'm like, Jackie, are you a twin? Are you like, how are you at these places so much? Aren't you tired? Don't you sleep? It's kind of like, how does he stop doing this? Every time you turn around, a major disaster, Jackie's there. It's like you were just on a film set and you're in a disaster area. It's like, and you tend to know the paparazzi's got to be pretty big with him, but he is like a, if you want to say the correct term, a seesaw, a mastery. And it's kind of like he has this aura about him. He's very calm in every single situation. And I think that's the martial arts training. And it's like, I swear to God, that's the difference with some of these actresses and actors. If you tend to notice, they're very different. You know, the whole aura is very, very different.
Well, I would imagine, martial arts, especially if you're good at it, if you've been at it for a long, long time, it does make you more centered, more focused. Yeah,
and I think it's too bad other people couldn't get into it, because you can't say that these stars that have money, they can't afford it. Do you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like the person I kind of like, have to give them credit, where he turned his life around because of martial arts, and I found the page, and I forget the page was Robert Downey Jr. He started getting, or a couple of years ago, he started getting into martial arts, and the masters were saying, they were showing pictures of him, and he said it turned his life around. And I think that's what saved him, because he was always getting drunk, and it was like, you know,
well,
I can't
yeah, he was in the
meth
big
and,
time. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, is he going to die or something? So he got into martial arts, and people were explaining he turned his life around because of martial arts. And I think ever since then, I haven't heard him go on a binge.
Mm-hmm.
So there is something, whether, I don't know, I can't say, maybe it is spiritual, because that's what happened to me. When I was training in Tai Chi with my brother, Ohura, and he was, he knows many different martial arts, and I was training outside under this big tree. This has happened before in another martial art I was training in. For Tai Chi, I was training for a year before I went to work. And I felt connected. I can't explain it, and it just felt I was connected with everything around me, because it was outside, between the water and everything. I understood in those films, and what people have been saying for so many years, I got it, and I was like, this stuff is really real. And it's just something you can't really explain it. I mean, you can explain it to someone to your best ability until someone experiences, then that's when they'll understand, like, oh, I get it now. There's no words to explain. You have to go through it yourself.
Yeah.
Now, it's kind of funny. I think someone tried to call in, and I didn't get to them, and then someone tried to chat in there, but they didn't say their name, and it says guest. And I think I just missed him. I'm trying to go,
is the chat open?
Is someone here? Yeah, I put the chat open. So I don't know if someone was trying to call in. I guess they logged off. And, you know, it's so hard when you try to bring more than one person, because you try to give everybody a fair amount of time to talk, you know, and it's,
you can let people more than one person at one time. Let me see if, let me see if the chat's opening here.
Because I put the chat out, and someone tried to type in, but it's this ordinary woman. So I typed, you know, this is Shelley. I don't know if you can see anything or not.
No, the chat isn't opening up.
Really? Yeah. Because I thought, okay, let me see.
Let me do it again.
Maybe I have to load again. Launch chat, new window. Let's see. It says that it's out. I'll type in something again. Hello.
Now, that might be my browser. I'm refreshing, and I'm seeing the circle around. But by the chat should have opened up right now.
Because it says online users. It says one, so that must be me. And I just typed hello, and it popped up. So this is in chat. So it looks like it's working.
Oh, here it is. It's coming up now. Okay.
Are you guest one? Guest 4453?
I guess I am.
Okay.
Let me see. You've got ordinary woman in here. Yeah.
So you're the guest, but ordinary woman. I'm affiliated with that show. I don't know how. See, I don't know how to change that. You know, because it's her show, like her original show.
Right.
The lady that I call one of my big sisters, but this is the Shelley Nunchuk show. So. That's why I was like, try not to confuse people. It's just the way it's set up. I guess that's how they do it if they have affiliations.
No, because it says here, your show is Shelley Nunchuk's show by Ordinary Woman. So Ordinary Woman is the owner of the show, so the owner of the show is going to show up in the chat room. So that's not unusual, so don't worry about that.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure I was doing everything right, because it's like, I kept saying on my Facebook, I says I apologize to people, because what's your number's coming up? It's the 01. It's the 01 number. So I was like, okay, this is a great call. And it says, you know what, I'll try it, and I'll just disconnect it really fast.
Yeah, but if you're that's all you have to do. Because there will be people that will be using the block calls. They'll be using Skype. They'll be using, fake numbers. And when they call in, you just say, okay, thanks for calling, and then hang up on them, and then go about your business, and then that's it. Personally, when I call the show, when they call in, I love them to stay. Because then I rank on them, and they'll call in and say some stupid shit, and then I'll say, did you learn that from your mother? Really?
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's some of the things on there, it's like I try to tell people, you know, it's something where, everybody's whatever they want to have, like they figure if they're rude and stuff to their guests, it makes them more popular, and it's like, you know, like Howard Stern and stuff like that, it's like, you really rag on, like, a lot of people. And he gets money for it, if you really think about it. He gets to treat people like crap, and he gets money for it, because it was like, I started watching
but he's not happy,
show.
Though. That guy is not happy.
Yeah.
He's gone to two psychiatrists. He's not a happy fella. He's never been happy.
He seems to take it out on everybody.
Well, I mean, I used to listen to him a long, long time ago, and his life story is when he went to a school that was practically all black, so he was one of the few white guys that went there, and he got his ass kicked every day.
I've seen the movie. Did you see the Howard Stern movie? I forget the name of it, and it was funny because I actually felt bad for him because I felt like, you know, he was trying to make it. You know, I didn't understand that, but I don't know what happened to him because I was kind of feeling that this is what he wanted and he got through and people didn't want to get a chance. And the funniest part of the movie, I couldn't stop laughing, when he got in a fight with his, what is the guy's name? He's got curly hair. Begins with a G, Gallimardi. What is his name? He's an actor. And I can't remember his name, but he was fighting with them. Howard Stern was fighting with the phone. And he's like, he let go of the phone and the guy knocked the phone into his own head. He was like, ah! And I couldn't stop laughing at the sight because Howard's like, I just want to talk. And he's like a nervous wreck. And really funny because just to watch him on film. But then it's like, you know, I actually started watching. Remember the show was on, I think, on E! Or something. I can't remember. When it first came out, I started watching. It was funny. But then they got really even more raunchy. And I'm like, okay, this is, you know, I thought he would have more guests. And it's like, he just wants to, like, oh, can you take your clothes off?
That's all he wanted to do. He just wanted to go away from terrestrial radio and go into Sirius so that he could escape the FCC. But then all he did was he just cursed a lot more. Now he was allowed to curse. And he still was the same raunchy guy. But I have to give the guy kudos for having talent. He is funny.
It seems that that's all he does. You know what I'm saying? It's like, now he's on, like, one of those shows, the talent show. He's one of the judges now,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, he's on America's Got
Talent
or The X Factor. Which one? I forget.
It's one of those. I'm so confused. It's like, I just see these things on YouTube. I don't get TV anymore, so it's kind of like, I see things on YouTube, and I was like, I was almost excited because AMC, right? They had this thing where on their show they were going to premiere The Walking Dead, which I was so excited because one of the ladies, she's like a ninja. She has this sword, a katana sword. And I was like, oh, my God, that's so awesome. So I was like, okay, last week's show, I thought it was going to be on AMC. Maybe they have to wait to play it. And it was like, the show's not on that Tuesday. Mm-hmm. When they premiered it, I was able to watch it on that Tuesday. And I was like, when's the second show? And I thought because something about Dish Network or something, that's why AMC had it playing. I was like, now that's a show that I actually like. And I'm like, I wouldn't mind being on that show for like a season, a kick butt, or be a zombie. I have experience working as a zombie with latex, so I wouldn't mind doing that, you know?
You should audition for something like that, or maybe put out a video that you want to put on YouTube and just see how many views you get. Show off your martial arts talent, stuff like that.
If you want to see it, you can actually go to YouTube, and it's like our film. We didn't get nominated. It's called iNavi, and it's in the film festival back in Boston. It's called Killer Film Festival. It's in November. It's showing short film, and they actually played a zombie. And we have, so it's like it's a short film, and it's like, I think iNavi, it's like all the films I'm in, there are these words that mean something, but it's so hard for me to pronounce. I think iNavi, maybe I can Google it here. Let's see. Let me see if I can spell it right, then you can look at it. iNavi, Ahura, Z. Let me see. iNavi, let's see. I know you can Google the trailer, and you'll see me coming out of the van as a zombie.
All right, let me go to YouTube. I'm going to be there in a few seconds. Okay.
Let me see if I can learn how to spell it right.
I'm at YouTube in a few seconds here. I don't like when my computer slows down. Okay, I'm here. Well, do you remember what any of the keywords are for the video? Because I can put in the keywords.
See, if I look up, I'm looking at my brother's name, and I think I can. Okay, let's see if it comes up. His metaphysical things. In a Korea, the film. You can actually even watch one of our films. It's really low budget.
I saw you in that furniture film.
There's another one where I play three characters. I have my first fight scene. Mm-hmm. And that's actually on Amazon.com. It's in a Korea, and I have three film roles in that, and that's really funny. Because I'm like, you know, fighting my great brother. He threw me around on the ground with no we didn't have no padding and stuff, and it was my first fight scene, and I told him, I said, people wouldn't give me a chance. And he's like, oh, really now? So he says, you're going to fight me. And now this guy that has tons of experience, he's a big guy, right? He's my height. And it's kind of funny because it's like, he's like, you're going to fight me. And I'm like, ah. And then I was like, oh. Because I was like, he was like, really? And I'm like, this guy's like, brick wall. So then he was like, he threw me around on the ground. And I was like, the first thing, and I, in the bloopers, but they don't show it, I hit the ground and I went, oh. I went just like that.
Oh, that would be nice. Real. That would be nice for YouTube if you could take the bloopers and put it on YouTube because
yeah.
It'd be funny.
I don't. Yeah, it's not my It's not my. You know
oh,
what I'm saying?
Not,
my
it's
company
not your
and stuff.
Copyright.
So
yeah, you don't have.
I'm just trying to find the trailer.
Uh-huh.
So if I find the trailer, I can find the way to spell Inari because I'm going to Unicovia. This is a hula. Okay. Trailer project for iNavius, AYNA-V, and it's a minute 29, so.
Okay, give me the spelling again, A something?
It's A-Y.
A-Y.
N-A.
N-A.
Hyphen.
Uh-huh. Hyphen and then
trailer,
the next one?
Yep. And a V like in Victor.
V, okay. All right,
that's the trailer. You'll be able to see it.
All right, Ani V. Okay, trailer for Project Ani V. All right.
I think it's called iNavi. I think that's the correct way to pronounce it.
iNavi,
You'll see it. We actually, you know, that's actually Hora's daughter, the one with the red hair, and she does fighting. He's trained all of us, and I trained for a year with him.
Is that
a
Unicovia pictures?
Yeah.
Okay,
yep,
I'm watching it now.
Okay.
An elite soldier in her prime. Yeah, the red hair. Yeah, here we go. And then they got this guy with the golden...
Yep, that's my big brother. Yep.
All right. Here's the red-haired chick. Okay. Why are they up against the wall? Taken to a world gone mad. So... All right, here are the visions, here's the spacecraft, and here's the chick giving a warning, there's the redhead.
Yeah.
And somebody's pouring coffee. Here's the mad woman.
Mad woman? Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You'll see me coming out of a van like
a
zombie.
Oh, there you go. Ugh. There you are.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't recognize you, but there you are. You're the zombie.
That's the point. That's the point of acting.
Yeah. Now, there's a fight. Oh, the redhead chick, she's supposed to be a badass, huh? Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, you're only there. Well, let me rewind it and let me see you come
well,
out of the panic.
Well, see, this was a smaller part to me because it was a short film.
Right.
And what had happened, I had got injured, so it prevented me, like, over a couple years ago, I fell. It had nothing to do with filming, and I injured myself where I couldn't walk.
Oh.
So... what happened was that prevented me from doing a fight scene in this. So we're like letting my knee heal because I didn't have money for surgery for my knee. So I had to pay my rent.
Right.
So overcoming that, I'm starting to work out again. So it's all, you know, I was a fan, all that training in martial arts. So now the training's going to come more. But everybody that works for Unicovia, there's no stunt doubles. We do all our own fight scenes. So... you probably can watch that a couple of times. You're like, there's Shelly. I can't recognize her, but there she is. So, let's see. Are you still there?
Yeah, I was putting it
on. Oh, okay. I thought I lost you for a second. So,
no,
you got to do something.
I stopped it. And I had to rewind. I stopped it. I got you just before you get out of the van. And you got red hair too, and they got the makeup on.
Well, I used to have red hair, but I dyed it back to black for the two films. So for Belcher, I got to keep it black and curly, but I actually like it red and straight.
Uh huh.
So it's different. I mean, it's something that I wanted to do different because most of my life I had curly hair, and I wanted to do something a little different. And another thing is, you know how like you learn from your mistakes, and I put straightener in my hair, and my hair fell out on one side of my head, so it was like I couldn't touch my hair for a while, so it finally grew back in. And my brother's like, why, Shelly, why'd you do that?
Oh, you know what the newest thing is now? The newest thing in for aspiring rappers. I know this one girl who has a show on BTR, and she shaved the left side of her head. Looks good on her though. So she has no hair on the left side of her head, and she has hair on, you know, on the top, coming all the way down past her ass practically. And
yeah, well, that's not what my intention was doing. I just wanted to straighten my hair. I was like, well, I guess I can't do that. I'm learning. You know, I learned.
So, have you got any other, flicks lined up that, you know, that are independent that you can maybe, you know, make a splash so that maybe if you put it on YouTube or if you put it on a website that maybe, you know, goes... That, you know, the more that you distribute yourself, the better it will be for other people.
Oh, yeah. I talk about myself all the time. And even, you know, I've run fan club pages. And the other thing, too, that I started on Facebook, I started a page called You Are Worth It. And I said, you know, I'm doing this because I'm getting tired of I feel really bad because there's a thing going on where there's a lot of teenagers that are real young and they're taking their lives. They're doing their suicide note on YouTube and they're taking their lives from bullying. So what I did I started a Facebook page because my heart is breaking and these kids feel alone. They're taking their own lives. Mm. And they're either hanging themselves or whatever in their closet and their parents are finding them. And because they're tortured, they're utterly tortured on the internet. Somebody says, you know what, I hope to dear God, if I speak about things that I went through, maybe this is going to help some child to let them know they're not alone. So I started a Facebook page called You Were Worth It. And what it's about, you know, like I said, it's about, you know, trying to talk a little bit about my experience. I had bullies. I was there. And I keep trying to post positive things. I was like, please don't take your life. I'm saying this to the kids. I'm like, oh, please, dear God, you're worth so much more being here because, you know, maybe someday they're going to be the ones that make the difference. If they make it into adulthood, you know, everything that they're going through, maybe they're the ones that are going to cure cancer. Maybe they're the ones that are, you know, are going to be more, that save pets and stuff. I said, if you have a dream, you know, I mean, like I said, share my experiences. Maybe some kids will see it, and they'll be like, wow, she's 42, and she had bullies too? No way. And maybe it's going to show them, inspire them, like, I can make it. And, you know, that's just something I'm hoping for.
That's a very good thing, because... if you're doing it now before you become a real brand name celebrity, that could mean a lot, because then people would take a look at what you're doing, and they a lot of people are going to feel that when they do something for charity, when they do something which is supposedly altruistic, they're doing it only as a matter of public relations. But if you're doing it the way that you're doing it now, that could reach people, and on a certain level, people will take a look at you and say, you know what, she's really sincere, because she was bullied, she's at this level, and she's not waiting until she becomes a brand name celebrity to reach out and try to help us. So that could be effective.
Yeah, and it, of course, the way I think of it, because something that hurts my heart, that's what I go and try to work out of. It's like doing the page, I'm not getting paid or anything, it's just that I just feel so bad. I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a therapist. I just want kids to know I've been there and they are worth it. Every
well, that's
kid gets bullied, you know.
Yeah.
I wish to dear God that some child out there, if they ever feel alone, you know, like the one that was that really got me into it. I mean, I've been seeing this, like, this is enough. I got to start speaking out somehow. And it's kind of a little bit embarrassing, girls. I got to speak out and let these kids know that you can make it, and when you grow up, those bullies are going to mean nothing to them. It's not, you know, they're not going to matter, and they're going to find people. They can go to college, I mean, if they want to go to college or act or something like that, you know, because the people that are left behind, like that one called Amanda Todd, she kept posting for a while on her YouTube videos saying, you know, what the thing is, they write these words down, these kids, and they have these cards, they don't speak, but they're writing the story by showing index cards. And
yeah,
they're
hold
saying,
on a second, Shelly, hold on.
Sure. And the kitty goes meow. What's up, kitty? Let's see. A little static in the background there. Yes, I got a little Jackie Chan kitty co-hosting with me here. That's a somewhat nice day. I think we're getting ready for that big Frankenstein hurricane that's got everybody pooping in their pants. And, let's see. Okay. Now... what I'll do is I'm actually going to go to break, Joe. I'm going to play a song, and it's actually called Battle Song. So what I'm going to do is actually play a song. Once again, this is from South here, and what songs do is they set the mood to some film.
Something was happening, and it was a distraction. I had to see if I could take care of it or not. But
okay. I'm just going to play a song here. So,
okay.
You know, if you want to log into chat or something, feel free. You're going to talk a little bit more. I don't know how long I'm going to stay on, but, you know, I'm going to keep on pushing that, many of my pages and stuff like that. And feel free to Google me, find me on YouTube, and you'll be hearing from me on the show here.
Okay. I'm going to go now because I have some other things I have to do, too, as well. So,
alrighty.
I wish you good luck. All right. Hope to see you around.
Alrighty.
You know, on YouTube and in the theaters. All righty.
Okay. Thank you so much, Joe, for your time. You have a good day.
You too. Bye bye.
Alrighty. Bye bye. So what I'm going to do is take a little break. And once again, as you know, we do set the mood with music. And what we do is when you make music and you compose it, it helps set the mood for a film. Now, my brother, once again, this is a song I played all the time. It's for our film, Falcare. Now, remember, Falcare, I'm playing a hero, playing the lead. And, you know, this is an awesome thing because I kind of feel like Jackie Chan in my own way. And this is a song my brother, he composed it, and his beautiful, lovely wife, Sonari, sings it with him. And it's called Battle Song. You'll get a feel for the type of film. It's that epic type of film. So here we go. This is Battle Song.
Rush to my aid.
And that was Battle Song from the man, the myth, the legend himself, Ahura Zecordaliza. Woohoo! With his beautiful, lovely wife, Sonari. Yes, she does sound like an angel. Anyway, you know, I was talking to my good friend Joe there on the internet, my secretive James Bond 007 man. Thank you, Joe, for calling in. So anyway, I'm going to talk a little bit about Failcare. And let me just say, you know, I try to talk as much as I can. Now, I might not be a promoter per se, but I can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. Give me a radio show, I can talk forever. Anyway, I want to tell people and inspire them. Anybody has a dream. Just you remember, if you have a dream, whatever it may be, acting, singing, music, maybe you want to rescue animals, you can do it. Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. When I was little, one of the shows that I really loved was Wonder Woman. So I sat there, and I wanted to be Wonder Woman, and I ran around in Wonder Woman underoos, and spinning around, but in my own little golden lasso, you know, I wanted to fly in an invisible jet plane. Well, many years later, here I am in the midst of, middle of filming. It's going to take quite a while to do this film. You know, one of the actresses playing a superhero, you know, playing a lead, a primary character, playing a lead, playing a type of Wonder Woman. And this is one of those films that is epic. And after seeing, oh my gosh, I have got to tell you people, after seeing what the wardrobe looks like for the Valkyrie, I was just so excited. Man, if I had a picture, I wish I could show it to you, but, you know, this seeing it, the wardrobe that I'm going to be wearing in the battlefield, it's just really awesome, the armor and everything. And I was able to do just a little tiny bit, not really a lot of costuming, because in Unicovia and Unicorn Pitches, they do everything themselves. They do all the costuming. And to let you know, there is a fundraiser going, or you can actually donate to the school in Westbrook, Maine. I can also pull up the information for Falcare. Hold on for 1 second. I'm actually going to pull up the site again for Falcare and the fundraiser. And you can give to fundraiser. You can go there. Falcare fundraiser. Now, since I kind of talk funny, I like to spell it for you so that you can understand what Falcare is. F is in Frank, A-L-C-Y-Y-R, fundraiser. And you go to fundraiser.com. Or you can actually donate to the school where all proceeds will actually go to many different things in the film. If you give $5, $10, whatever it is, you can give. And you can actually go to the Facebook page and you can look up Falcare, and it says, "Fate shall give them wings and the gods shall give them power." So you can actually see me there, which I'm like, look like the wise woman because I've got a bow staff, and you can see the other three girls. And actually, we do have a fifth Valkyrie, and if Lena happens to be listening to my show, hi girl, what's up back in Boston? How's you and Brad and the kitty doing? Anyway, just thinking of all the hard work and everything that we're doing, this is taking a lot. Ahura does a lot of different things besides running a school. You know, he's doing everything himself, and people are working really hard on many different things. And I just feel very, very honored to be part of this film. And as you heard, Battle Song, that was the song I just played. Ahura is actually, you know, he is a composer and someone that actually does make music himself. So if anybody wants to call in, once again, please do not talk about sexual orientation, politics, and a few other things I've mentioned before. You can call in. If anybody's cranking here, I'm going to actually disconnect you faster than you can think. But the telephone number to call in is 877-907-7217. So 877-907-7217. And what I want to do is play another song, taking a little break. One of my brothers back in Boston, I was actually able to be in this music video. It was called Fail by Laz and Cat by Triceptor Studios. And I actually had some of the Triceptor Studio family on the, you know, with me, and they're able to raise money for their film. And I felt very honored to have these people on my show. So I felt very lucky and very blessed. And once again, that was in this video. I had so much fun that day, I'll never forget. Even the day when I thought, you know, when I worked with Jackie Chan, I'll never forget this. Triceptive Studios for Life back in Boston. So here we go. And you'll actually hear it. The song Feel. Yep. It actually is a feel-good song. So here we go with Laz and Cat, Triceptive Studio. Crosby, Tatum, Europe, this is for you.
Yeah, Laz Ritz, Cata B, Miss Smith and Envy, for Lil Nine, y'all, yeah, check this out, yeah, Triceptus Studio, check it, yeah, yeah. Yo, chillin' in the club, toastin' it up, having some fun, just enjoying the love. I saw you walking by, looking all upset. That was a cue for me, just the end of the set. To take you from your low, bring you to your high. Tell you positive things like how you so fly. After the club, meet me at the ride. We'll go to the beach, count the stars in the sky. In the meantime, tell me about your nine. You're the finest thing that's dressing all wide. Clothes you got on is a major turn on. Me looking at your mind is an instant dog on. Yeah, God, it's the way how you touching me. Sending me a vibe right through my body. You're so attractive and I'm so addictive. Yeah, that's something different, I'm dying to get with it.
Ooh, I like the way you always pushing on me. Ooh, I like the way you put chills on my body. Ooh, I like the way you always on my mind. Ooh, I like the way how you do it every time. Ooh, ha, ha, ooh, ha, ha, ooh.
Primetime player, used to chew girls up like now and later. Used to have 10 shorties all up in the jazz. Used to bang them all out like they never really had. I was going buck wild, I really didn't care. Had the flamed up loops plus the line up here. So fresh, so clean, y'all can help to stare. Living like Liberace with rockets to spare. Till I saw you, you opened up my eyes. The way you showed me love, it was definitely a surprise. Never ever met a girl who kept it so right. Never ever met a girl who matched my left or right. Now it's just me and you, let's play one on one. What we playing for, she said, I said for your heart. Accept the invitation, let's have some fun. From the nighttime sky to the early morning sunlight.
How can I approach you on this? You make my whole heart to flip. When you're near me, I get chills. Without you around, I'm going ill. I'd probably die if you were mine. Fuck you for murder, you're a crime. Looking in your eyes, I feel I'm fine. But do the tell, don't waste no time.
Actually, the song Feel from Triceptive Studios. Yes, Triceptive Studios for Life. And I felt so honored to be able to be a part of that video. And I had so much fun that day with my brother Crosby Tatum back in Boston. Give all the people love and hug for me. Anyway, if you feel like calling in, you can always call in 877-907-7217 if you want to say hi. Remember, be respectful. I'll disconnect you faster than you can think. Anyway, you know, I always say to people, you know, sitting here 42 years old, never thinking I could actually be doing any of this. No, seriously, not even a couple years ago or even 10 years ago. I mean, really thinking about it, I mean, my life has changed so much, so much. And I hope this does reach a lot of people out there, because with this being on the internet, anybody, anywhere, from any city, any country, any town, any village, anywhere, I mean, people even, Jackie Chan could actually hear this, whatever. But the whole thing of me doing the show is to inspire people to keep going, because I can't even tell you how much my life has changed in over 10 years, because over 10 years ago, I was so miserable, because the reason why is because of my choices of people who I'm around. It was my fault because I was around the most miserable people, the blood-sucking vampires that just was so, just, I can't even describe the feeling. I mean, you'd be able to tell when people are fake, and they're just, you know, all they want is for themselves, and they'll do anything to hurt anybody to get things for themselves, and they will suck the life out of you because they don't want to see you happy. And as you start wanting to evolve and get educated and want to know things for yourself, those people that you think are around you, they're not going to help you out. And that's what my big problem was, is because it was my fault to be around the people who weren't intelligent enough to be able to help me, and I was stuck. I had no way out, but I got out. I got out of misery, and misery does love company. So, you know, I just got away from it all. And what better do it than to have the opportunity to move out of Massachusetts from Boston to another state. And I felt blessed because I never have to see those people ever again. So it's out of sight, out of mind, and I am so happy. I mean, you see me with my brother and stuff like that, I'm just as happy as can be. I'm just smiling and so happy and content where I am, because I live in a nice, quiet place, no drama, no nothing, and I know people that jealous of what I have because it's happiness, and money cannot buy the happiness I have. So anybody out there, if you're around energy-sucking vampires, get away from them. Just get far away from them, leave them, kick them to the curb. You know, don't keep them in your life, because if you have a dream, more than likely, people are either going to think your dream is crazy, or if you have a dream, a lot of people, they're probably going to try to stop you from doing your dream. And the reason why is it's not because you can't do it, it's because they can't do it, and they want to stop you from doing your dreams. And that's what the problem is with this world, because the haters out there, they want to stop people from the people that have the dreams, that have the ambitions, that want to become successful. This is what the problem is. You have to get away from those people. Do what I did. You know, look, search, you know, look for knowledge, whatever it may be. If you got to go to college, if you got to go to a martial arts dojo, a studio, anything like that, you can get away from these horrible, horrible people. And if I can do it, you can too. People always make excuses, but I think what people want to do is to stay in the misery, you know, and it's just really funny and mind-boggling, because you just hear all about this drama. People say they don't want any drama, but they bring it upon themselves. So I just had it. And I said, never ever again. So even to deal with men, any man in my past life, let me tell you, my fault, my fault, my fault. I was around, like I said, the most stupid, unintelligent men. It's just because it was my fault, because it was my choice. You are given free will on this earth. When you grow into adult, you are given free will. The problem is I took my free will and I used it in a bad way. So that's why my dreams and my learning was actually really bad. And to let you know, when I was married, I was on depression medication. When I was not married anymore, I got off of them. Now, what is that telling you, America? When you're, like, in a bad relationship and you're on depression medication in that relationship, what is that telling you? It's just telling you, get away. So afterwards, I got off the depression medication, and look it, I stepped into a dojo, which helped me get into acting. Now, you have to laugh, because it's like people would think, what are you on, drugs up? No, don't smoke. Don't smoke nothing, not even cigarettes, nothing. I don't care, whatever they call it. It's called hookah, whatever it's called. That is smoking. I don't care how much is in it. It just is not. It's smoking and smoking, even if it's just a little bit. Smoking is smoking. It's going into your system, into your lungs. Don't you people know that smoking, whatever it is, it's putting little cuts into your lungs. No matter what it is smoking, and it puts cuts into your lungs. I don't care what anybody says. You want to do that? Fine. But not me. I'm not smoking nothing. I don't even drink. You know, it's not something I have to do with. I just value my life. Yeah, okay, maybe I want to work on a set and do stunts and stuff, and I take my life in my own hands. But I'm going to let you know, doing stunts, anything on films, that is me. And it's something I want to do. And, of course, you will, you know, you'll practice things. You're not going to just go on a set and say, hey, I'm going to do this and that. You're going to practice, you know, the fight choreography and stuff like that and just so many different things. And anyway, to get back to dreams and stuff like that, if there are people that are around you and that are negative fucking energy vampires, get away from them. You don't need them in your life. Kick them to the curb. Move far away, far, far away, because that's what I did, and now I don't have to deal with any messes. I mean, you know, you are yourself, but the thing is, you can't be your real self if you're going to be around these people that are negative. And to me, the problem, too, kick me in the head, please, is because I love working out. And in my past, being around guys that didn't like to work out, and it's just like one of those things where, what was I thinking? Well, I know better. It's something where, to me, working out is important. So, you know, I just really don't know what I was thinking. So someone should just, like, kick me in the head. Well, you don't have to do anymore because I kind of smartened up. And if you do have a dream, just go for it. I mean, anybody can do it. If I can sit here, you know, I'm on a radio show, and it doesn't matter what anybody says or whatever, because this is my show, and I run it. And if anybody ever calls and tries to be disrespectful towards me or any of my guests, I'll kick you to the curb. I'll just disconnect you faster than God knows what. It's just something where I'm just very happy doing what I'm doing. And I'm finishing up a children's book. You know, it's about a story about, it's basically based on a true story. And a ferret head came to me in Boston and came to me. I wrote the story. It's copyrighted and such. And I wrote about how it came to me, how I took care of it, and also I did a little story about, you know, the ferret looking for a mama and getting a name. So it's all copyrighted and stuff. I'm just so excited that it's almost done. And I think I actually have some pictures of the ferret that I can actually put in the book. They're kind of older pictures, but I'm kind of happy that I still had the ferret because this little thing came to me. And like most any animals that I've gotten most of my animals through my life is that the animals do come to me. You know, I don't know why. They just do. They just do. Anyway, I think I'm going to end the show, but I want to end it with one more song. Let's see. What do I want to... Maybe I should definitely just end the show. I think what I want to do is end the song with the song Once Again with Battle Song. Woohoo! I'm going to play that one more time. I love it. Can you tell I love it? Okay. Give me one moment. So... everyone, have a good Sunday afternoon. Remember to stay away from those energy-sucking vampires that are sucking the energy out of your life. If you have a dream, anybody, you go for it because you're just as good as enough as anybody else. So here once again is Battle Song. So here we go.